Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. You are awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We do lift up your name today. We lift up the name of Yeshua. We lift up the name of Yeshua. You said if we lift up your name, you will draw men unto you. So I lift up your name today in this place. Lord, draw people unto you. Fill this house with people who are hungry for the truth. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, we had an awesome worship. And I just feel the presence of the Lord. And this subject today, I want to talk about culture of honor. It's been on my heart for a couple days, and I really feel like the Lord wanted me to share today about the culture of honor. I've taught this before, and I'm going to share some of what I've previously shared. Then I want to go a little deeper, share something new that I haven't shared before, because the Lord has been speaking to us the new things. And we should always be learning and growing in our knowledge of Yeshua and his ways. Amen. First, what is the culture of honor? Well, it starts with assigning value to every human being. I'm not talking about an exact value, rather value in general. It is saying and believing that each person has inherent value just because God created them. His breath is in each of us. And most people don't really understand this or know this, but God breathes life into every human being. I heard a story years ago from, I believe it was Perry Stone, who told about a nurse that he knew. And this nurse worked in a fertility clinic. And they did the in vitro, where they caused the egg and the sperm to come together in a petri dish, and then they would plant them into the woman to be pregnant, for women who had a hard time getting pregnant. And they knew, she said, whenever the fetus was viable, because when the egg and the sperm came together and created a life, there was a spark of light. That's the God factor. God makes life. You know, people have tried to repeat life. They tried to put what they consider the building blocks of the human being into a test tube. And they've tried to create life. And they haven't been really successful in some instances, because it takes that spark of God to create life. So when we see a person, we treat them as valuable because they are. And God created each person as a valuable human being with a purpose. Granted, we all don't fulfill our purpose. We all don't even sometimes understand what our purpose is. But we all have a purpose. And God is spirit, and we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. That is one of the purposes that he created us for. He wanted a family, and he wanted people to relate to him, to have a relationship with him. So we do that, spirit to spirit, human spirit to God spirit to human spirit. We relate to each other on a spiritual level. And so we are ones created in the image of God. And as ones who are created in the image of God, we are also spirit beings. Therefore, in the culture of honor, we recognize each person as a spiritual gift. You see, the gifts are not just the manifestations, as has been traditionally taught in the church. It is not what gift do you have. It is, you are a gift. What do you bring to the table? What did Holy Spirit send you here to do? The manifestation of the gifts is just to help identify a person's place in the body. If someone is not manifesting a gift, then they really don't know who they are, or they're plagued with low self-esteem. In this case, the first step is to help them discover their place and who they are in Christ. We have the fivefold ministry, whose job it is to do that. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But make sure each person who comes into your sphere of influence, whether it be in a church, a business, a neighbor moving next door, make sure they are actually born again. Have they repented and been baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? If not, then Acts 2:38 comes into play. Encourage each person you encounter to repent and be baptized. Then they will get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then give them some time to be discipled. Maybe you are the one to disciple them. If you lead them to the Lord, they become your responsibility. Although they may choose not to accept discipling from you, they may choose to go to a church somewhere else. That's fine, as long as they're getting into the Word and being discipled in a good, Bible-believing, God-fearing church. But after they're discipled, we learn what type of gift they are. Please note that the Holy Spirit is the ultimate gift, and all gifts belong to Him. That is why they are called gifts of the Spirit. He can manifest through anyone in any way He chooses. But generally, a person will flow in the same gift or gift category, especially if they are a leader. The leadership gifts are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, often referred to as the fivefold. Their job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Do you hear that? Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Their job is ministry in some aspects, but what is the true work of the ministry? Yeshua said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give." So that's the work of the ministry, advancing the kingdom of God in the earth by destroying the works of the enemy. And the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, they are to equip you to do these works. Teach you who you are in Christ and what you're supposed to be doing in Christ. What are we supposed to be doing again? Healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, discipling others, advancing the kingdom, or destroying the works of the devil. That's the work of the ministry. And each will function in their own way, but all are important. Not everyone is a leadership gift, though. So there are other kinds of gifts. There's music gifts, gifts of helps, administration, hospitality. Here I want to note that the mark of a leader is hospitality. If a person is hospitable, they just might be a leader. In the culture of honor, we recognize those who are leaders and support them. We submit to the vision that the Lord has given them. Submission has often been given a bad reputation. If we understand that it means to come under and lift up the mission, then it's not such a bad word or idea. Each family, each church, and even each business has a specific vision or mission given to the leader or leaders. If there is more than one vision, then there is division. That is why in the culture of honor, we submit to the vision of the recognized leader or leaders. They are, in turn, instructed to write the vision and make it plain so that those who read it can run with it. In the culture of honor, a leader or leaders write the vision. They clearly explain the mission to those they lead in order to enable submission. Because when God places people in your sphere under your authority as a leader, they got to know what the mission is or what the vision is. Then each of them have to agree to support that vision or mission and play a part in fulfilling it in some way. So you have to write it down. You have to explain it. I've gone to quite a few churches where I've gone there for a while and no one has come to me to explain what the vision or mission of that body is. And then I don't know what they're doing. I have to try to figure it out. And sometimes when we do that in that way, we end up violating some of their unspoken protocols. We end up offending them, but we don't know how we offend them. But then they get mad at us. So leaders, make sure everyone who comes into your place of business, family, fathers and mothers, explain it to your children. What's your family mission? What's your business mission? And pastors and leaders in the church, make sure everyone who comes to your church and chooses to stay and become part of your group understands what your church's mission and vision is so that they can find their place in that mission plan and allow them to fulfill their part, because everybody is given to you as a part of your mission plan and they all have a part to play. And leaders, if other leaders are sent to you, please don't feel threatened or jealous. In the culture of honor, we help each other become the best. We lift each other up and encourage one another. Ask the Lord, why are they here? Maybe they are taking a rest from ministry. Maybe their last mission was difficult and they need healing. Maybe they are learning to lead and you are being called to mentor them. Maybe they are there to partner with you for a specific mission or help you in some way. Please do not deny them the ability to do what they have been sent to do. Find out why they're there and allow them to do what God has placed them there to do. Do not try to put them in a place they don't belong either. Many churches will say, well, we need someone in the children's ministry. And so a new person comes and they're like, okay, you want to serve in our church? Work in the children's ministry. Well, maybe they're not called or anointed to do that. You know, some people just don't have what it takes to work in a children's ministry. They don't have the patience or the skills necessary to work with children. Working with children can be difficult sometimes. Let those who are gifted and called to work with children work with children. And if you don't have anybody for your children's ministry, pray them in. Start praying. God, send people for my children's ministry. If you need someone to clean your toilets, a janitorial service, then hire one. Or pray that person in. Lord, there is someone out there who just loves to clean church. And they want to clean the church. That's how they want to serve the body, is to come in once a week and clean the church. Send that person in. Don't put those kinds of things on people or make them feel guilty for not doing that. because they're not gifted or called. Sometimes the people can't do those jobs for one reason or another. Maybe their health, maybe they need to get healed. You know, some people don't have the strength to clean or work with children. Maybe they have sensitivities to chemicals, and so they can't clean. Maybe they still need healing and deliverance in some issues, and so they can't work with the children because they need that healing and deliverance. Get to know people. Don't just try to shove them into places you want them to be in. Let God lead you in that area, and let everybody serve in the area that works for them. There's the revelatory gifts. These gifts include the ability to see and or hear in the spirit and receive words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and interpret dreams. I would like to note that since we can all prophesy, we can all flow in the revelatory gift. Although we can all prophesy, though, those who are prophets, who certainly do prophesy, not everyone who prophesies is a prophet. Let me say that again. Although we can all prophesy, and those who are prophets certainly do prophesy, not everyone who prophesies is a prophet. There are a lot of people who are gifted in the revelatory gifts and in prophesying. They've been trained, they've taken classes, and they're good at hearing the Lord and giving words. But that does not make them a prophet walking in the office of the prophet. A prophet is called by God, not by man. The Art of Hearing God course by the late John Paul Jackson teaches on this subject in depth. And I do teach this course as well, as I was a certified instructor with John Paul Jackson's ministry when he was alive. So I can teach this class. And if you want to have this class, contact me and we'll see what we can work together to work up a schedule to teach this course. The Art of Hearing God is an awesome course, and I believe every person in the body of Christ should take this course. It's been life-changing for me, very life-changing. So there's gifts of helps and music and hospitality and all kinds of gifts. So look for the gift that the person is that comes into your sphere. And it doesn't matter whether it's in the church, in a business, or even in your family. Parents, God gives you children for a reason. Each child has a gift and is a gift. Try to find out why they are part of your family and what gifting and calling that God gave them to help your family fulfill its vision and mission. If you don't know what your family mission and vision is, seek the Lord. Fathers and mothers, seek the Lord and make sure that you understand what your family is supposed to be doing. Every family has a mission. Now I'd like to go a little deeper on how we can show honor to others. Yeshua, of course, is our example. He came to earth to show us the way. So there's a song that says, "You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high." He came with a purpose. One of those purposes was to show us the way. So he is our example. We read the Bible and we search the scriptures to see what Jesus did and also what he did not do as our example. And when we search the scriptures to look for examples of how Yeshua treated others, I find some examples where he treated others with honor. The first example that came to mind is the woman caught in adultery. This story is found in John 8. Jesus had went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, And having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery, in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say?" And here's where Yeshua, with the wisdom of the Lord, I mean, he was full of the Holy Spirit too. And that wisdom, he recognized that they were setting a trap. They had put out bait and were setting a trap to trap him. And he did not fall for their trap. He didn't take the bait. He was, at first, he stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And they were continuing to press him and ask him. They persisted and asked him. He straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." So here, this is such wisdom. He did not insult them or call out the hypocrisy. So he was showing honor to them by not calling out the hypocrisy or actually calling out their sins. He didn't stand there and point his finger at them and say, "Well, you did this and you did that. What about when you did this?" He didn't do that. He just wrote in the sand, wrote in the dirt. And then when they were persistent, he said, "Okay, you without sin, cast the first stone." And then conviction fell upon them. And one by one, they began to leave, starting with the older ones. And then finally, he was left alone with the woman where she was in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more." So here, this shows honor. He honored the woman. He didn't insult her or berate her or condemn her. And he definitely did not stone her. He recognized that she was caught in a trap herself. She was caught in the trap of sin for whatever reason. And you don't know her history. Maybe she came from a history of abuse. I know women who are abused when they're younger end up becoming promiscuous and they'll be adulterers. So he empowered her to go and sin no more. What honor, which respect. And that is how we should treat others when they come into our presence, into our sphere of influence, and we see that they're caught in sin. Set them free. Empower them to go and sin no more. Show them the way through Yeshua. Treat them with honor and respect as a human being. There is no sin greater or lesser than the others. Sin is sin. And we all sin, right? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have no right to judge anyone because they're caught in a certain sin. What we do is in love, encourage them to walk the right path. Let them know, hey, that's a path of sin and it will lead you to destruction. But Yeshua came to pay the price because every sin carries a wage and that wage is death. And that you don't want to die, not physically and especially not spiritually. So give up that sin, repent of that sin, let Yeshua's blood wash it away and cleanse you and empower you to go and sin no more. That is honor and respect. Then another example came to mind is Peter. How Yeshua treated Peter. Peter was one of the disciples, and he was bold and courageous. One of the times he walked on water for a short time, for a minute, he saw Yeshua coming, walking on the water, and he said, "If that's you, Lord, bid me to come." And Yeshua said, "Come." So he got out of the boat and he walked on water. Wow, that's a bold, courageous move. But he also was kind of impulsive, I think. He cut the ear off the high priest's servant when Yeshua was being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Yeshua said, no, we don't want to do that. And he healed that servant's ear. And then he denied the Lord. But Yeshua came and restored him. But before that, he called Peter a rock. He recognized the leadership in Peter, and he called it out. Peter, you're a rock. And on this truth that you just stated, that I'm the Son of the living God, that truth, I'm going to build my church on it. And what he was doing was establishing Peter as a leader in the early church. So Peter was a leader, and he called him out, and he got to do different things that others disciples didn't get to do. And God showed Peter honor and respect in that, look, I know Satan has come to sift you because you're a leader, and leaders will be sifted. The enemy will attack leaders. And so he recognized that, and he called it out and informed Peter, you know, you're a leader, you're a rock, and Satan has come to sift you, but I've prayed for you that when you are restored, you will lead others, restore them. So he had a purpose as a leader. And out of his experience, he would be able to help others. So that's calling out a person's gifting and calling. And that shows honor and respect to that person, that you recognize who they are in Christ. So I think Yeshua, if you read about how he spoke to Peter and that relationship he had with Peter, you will see that there's a lot of honor and respect in that relationship. And then one more example that's coming to my mind is Paul, who was Saul. I think that maybe this might be a little harder to see, but Saul, you know, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a zealous person for the law, and he was persecuting the church. And then he had this experience on the road to Damascus, and Yeshua appeared to him in a light, a blinding light. It literally blinded him. But he said, why are you persecuting me? And when Saul, who was renamed Paul, recognized it was the Lord, he got that revelation of Yeshua, he turned his life around. And Yeshua sent him to another believer to receive his sight back, to yield, and receive knowledge on how to be born again. Then Paul went away for 3 years into the desert and was discipled by Yeshua himself. We learn this as we read the scriptures. That is honor. This man persecuted you and your church, you and the believers. He persecuted you, but you brought him to a place of salvation. You saved him, turned his life around, healed him, and put him back on the path of righteousness, true righteousness in Yeshua. So whenever we meet others, we have to look at them that they are gifts from God and empower them to be saved, delivered, healed, set free, and raised up, discipled into the things of God so they can fulfill their God-ordained destinies. We don't insult people. We don't criticize people. We don't tear people down. We show them value. They are valuable. And we treat them as valuable gifts from God. Amen. So I hope this message has encouraged you to walk in a culture of honor, respecting others, not insulting them, not looking down upon them. We all make mistakes. And when we see others making mistakes, we go to them in love and encourage them and say, look, what you're doing is wrong. Here's a better way. How about we do the better way? That's honor. And then, look, I recognize you as a leader, or I recognize that you like to clean, or I recognize you have a gift with children, or in teaching, or music. I see you have a musical gift. Whatever the gift or ability or talent that that person has, recognize it. And then when you recognize that in them, empower them. If they're not trained in their gift, train them. Find someone else to train them if you can't train them. Help them. Lift them up and help them fulfill their destiny. Whether it's in your church or in your business for a season, and then they go off into someone else's ministry, that's okay. You do your part while they're in your sphere of authority, whether they're under you or partnering with you. Let them do what God has sent them to do. And if God leads them to go somewhere else, then let them go in peace. So many pastors are jealous for their sheep, the people who come, and they don't want them to leave. And they even insult them if they try to go somewhere else. That's not how we're supposed to be, because ultimately they're not our sheep. They're God's sheep. People belong to God, not us. They're just our brothers and sisters. And we're to work with them and keep the peace. And if they want to go, let them go in peace. Amen. Well, I think that's all that I'm getting from the Lord to share today. So I'm going to wrap this up. And I just bless you. And pray for you that you will be able to go deeper and understand the culture of honor and be able to live the culture of honor. And let's honor and respect each other and help each other fulfill our destinies in Him. Amen. Shalom.